conversation is not scripted, and I wanted them to come up, the different age group, from the young to the old. I said, why don't you come up to the stage and have a conversation about, you know, the family life here in DUMC. So give them one more clap, can you? Because that takes a lot of courage, all right, to come up here to have a conversation. And I wanted them to share from the young to the, you know, not so young, you know, what's going on. And so they were genuinely having a conversation there just now, all right? Now, I'm going to just tie this together for you, you know, in this sermon. But before that, let's read the Bible. Can we do that? Because it's so important for us to be reminded that I preach only from the Word of God. And so let's stand and let's hold up our Bible. As always, we want to honor the Word of God. And so if you don't have a hard copy Bible, just hold up, you know, whatever Bible that you're reading from your phone or from your iPad. It's still a Bible. Okay, ready? This is my Bible. One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Amen. Let's declare the Word of God aloud together from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. Let's declare it aloud together. One, two, go. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the Word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. So, Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here this morning, that you will be our tutor, our coach, our teacher, God, that through the Word of God, may we not only be informed in our minds, but Lord, you inspire our hearts. And Lord, to then, Lord, help us, Lord, to instruct our behavior so that we will be a different person from the person that walks in here, God, in our behavior. And so, Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask you now, Lord, to come. And Jesus, you increase, and we decrease, God. And all God's children say, amen, amen. Please be seated. And before I carry on, I just want to recognize a wonderful couple here, John and Lois, right? I remembered you when you were here in DUMC for a short while. They are Korean missionaries now serving right in the Middle East for many years now with the three children. They have been there for many years. Thank you for serving the body of Christ. You know, so I want to welcome you. All right, back here for a short while here. Okay. And that passage we read earlier on is from Apostle Paul, written to his co-worker Titus, whom Apostle Paul himself led to the Lord. And to cut the whole long story short, you know, Apostle Paul left Titus in the island of Crete, because the church in the island of Crete during those times, where they were all very young churches, and they were troubled with with false teaching. And so Apostle Paul left Titus in the island of Crete and told him to organize the church and deal with all this false teaching, including putting in instruction about Christian households. And therefore, you read earlier in the passage just now that they talk about older men, younger men, older women, younger women, and how they ought to instruct one another. And you see, you know, many gems there about teaching, about sound doctrine, about character, about behavior, about conduct, and the roles, all right? So fill in those, in that passage, are actually instructions about how to be a household of God. And so here in the DUMC as well, we have a household of God. People who are the more mature one, right? And those who are the younger ones. And so right here in our midst here, I want to, you know, be reminded once again that there are many, many, you know, great senior ones in our church. And let's never forget them. And so if you remember, You know, when I started the Forward 2020 series, I started on last weekend by mentioning that, you know, don't miss out on what God is doing in the next couple of years. It's going to be really amazing to chase a lion and be able to see how God is going to use us to make a difference wherever we are. And so, you know, the first, you know, message was last weekend was don't miss out. Don't miss out on what God is doing. Now, in the Forward series, normally every year, I would like to emphasize certain things that is very, you know, important for me as a senior pastor. So there are one message about going out. The second message this morning, I felt this year, we want to be reminded, you know, of the people in this church, especially the seniors in this church here, all right? And so how do I define the senior in this church? The seniors are people who are 60 and above, all right? That's how I do the cutoff point, okay? Now, I have not joined the seniors yet, all right? Although this year, come October, you know, I will be 60. So I'm 59 plus, right? So I'm almost there, 60. But there are, in our midst here, those of us here who are 60 and above. Now, if you are 60 and above, I want you to just wave your hand at me right now. Even those in GMC at Puchong and those on live stream, you can wave where you are, right? Just wave. All right, be proud that you're 60 and above. Just wave your hand this way, okay? Now look around, everyone. See all the hands that are waving, including those in the gallery. These are the amazing people of the 60 and above, okay? And yes, give them a clap. It's very, very important. Now, let me explain to you in this sermon here why they are very, very important. So I want you to be all ears right now, because the conversation earlier on just now was actually about how the people in the 60, the seniors of the church, the more mature ones, how they actually contribute to the life of the younger ones. So this morning, my big message is don't miss me out. That me are the people who are 60 and above. So the idea is that the vital role of our seniors in the church, the vital role of our seniors in the church, and it is so important that we must remember that God has blessed us with those who are the seniors. And I'll give you the reasons why they are very important. And so the big idea is we need one another in the family of God. We need every person, whether the young or the more mature ones. Now, I came across this photo, and I was just laughing to myself. It's quite an amazing photo, right? And this is the photo of three men trying to fix an air conditioner unit in a high-rise, okay? So this is the photo, all right? And so you have three men there trying to fix that aircon in a high-rise, okay? Now, you look at that, and if that man has a fall, it's going to be quite bad. So I zoom into that photo, and I realized that this man was trying to hold and fix the aircon, was standing on a ladder over the ledge. And there are two other men, one was holding up the air conditioner, the middle person, and the one on the left was just standing there doing nothing. Now, let me assure you that the man who is doing nothing so far, if he doesn't stand there, that man falls. So even that man who is standing there, so seemingly not doing anything, but he provides the stability, right, to that ladder in order for that man who is doing the work of fixing it doesn't fall over. So when I look at this photo, I was reminded, actually, this is church. This is actually church, because everyone needs to play a part. And therefore, you know, I would just be reminded about the five core habits of honor, humility, be real, pass it on, and having fun. Now, these core habits that God has laid upon my heart, there are many other core habits that we can have, but these five, on the top of that is the word honor. And therefore, I was asking myself, as a church, how then do we honor every generation in this church here, in particularly this weekend, those who are 60 and above. How do we practice this? Now, in some ways, let me admit to you that even as a church, not just GUMC, many churches around the country, in fact, around the world, they are beginning to realize that we are losing the younger ones. In fact, the church around the world are aging. And if we don't focus on the younger ones, tell you what's going to happen in 10 years' time, 15 years' time, 20 years' time, the young people are going to disappear. we're going to find that the church are closing down. And this is already happening in many Western developed countries. The churches are being sold because there's no more people in the church. Left only with those more mature ones, and eventually they too will go. And the Church of Jesus Christ can, in some sense, in certain parts of the world, disappear. And so, therefore, it's very important for us as a church to think of how then do we reach out and focus on the younger ones, especially, you know, those in the teens right now, those who are children, to ensure that we do not lose them. So in the strategy to do that, therefore, it affects the way we do church, right? It has to affect the way we do church, in the way we preach, in the sermon topic that we have, even in our preaching style, how I preach as a preacher, how I dress as a preacher, right? And how I need to go from a baggy pants now to a skinny pants, right? Why? Because, you know, younger people identify with that. And so it also affects our worship style. It affects the way we do our overall day-to-day operation of the church. It will affect if we want to retain the younger one. But in doing so, let's be reminded, never, ever forget those who are the seniors. We must never forget the beauty and harmony of what it means to be family. Family means that in the family of God, and even in the biological family, when we have the young one, especially the Chinese New Year, one of the most amazing things about Chinese New Year, as we go back to our family home, are the noises. We love the noises. We don't want to go back to a quiet family where there are children making all kinds of noises. The noisier they are, the better it is. Right? And then we have the one who are the teens, those who are in the young adults, and then move on to our grandparents. You know, what a privilege to be in that kind of a household. And we must never forget, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate that we have the young and the older ones. Let's celebrate even that, and even our children sometimes make noise. It's okay. In any family, if you want it to be quiet all the time, something is very wrong because there are no children running around. And even in the Church of Jesus Christ, even we have children running around, and sometimes I hope the parents will have, be able to look after them, but sometimes they're too noisy, maybe bring them up. But even if they make some noises, it's okay. We learn to accept them as part of the family of God. And that is the beauty. We are all baptized into one family. And therefore, those of us who are the more mature one, which I'm going to join you soon to be called a senior, all right, in a few months' time, but I want to be able to say that I am a contributing senior. Even as I so-called age along, I want to be a very vital part of this church. And so I'm reminded the entire church here right now, those, especially those of the younger ones, never forget the older ones. In fact, the Bible here reminds us of the senior ones. If you don't believe me, let me point to you a few passages how the Bible reminds us. For example, this one particular passage which I love. Gray hair, this, is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life. Now, I know there are many gray hair people, except that you dyed it, huh? Okay? But gray hair is a reminder to us that we have gone through life. We have gone through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I pray that through the passage of time, through the passage of life, we have gained wisdom in our life. And that is why the Bible says, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life. I pray that even in our mistakes, in our messiness, we have learned to grow, to be more godly in our life. So it is, you know, again by living a godly life. And then another passage, stand up. I love this word. Stand up in the presence of the aged. Very clearly it's for the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. Imagine now God is saying, revere God, and put it next side by side is about showing respect to the elderly. Side by side. Okay? That reminds us that, you know, that when the elderly, when the seniors are around, we ought to show them respect. And that is in the Word of God. In fact, it goes on to say, stand up. So in our Asian culture, we have some great Asian cultures, by the way. Sometimes, sadly, over time, we have lost it. And we need to bring it back. About, you know, when seeing an older person in the room, we stand up in respect and call uncle, we call auntie. And I inculcate this in my own home as well for my own children. Before you eat your food, call uncle and auntie eat. So that's what they do. They will call uncle, auntie eat, right? And sometimes, you know, they'll call them, address each elderly person by their so-called titles, all right? And they will call them, eat, eat, eat. Sometimes my son will sometimes want to do the shortcut. Everybody eat. I say, no, you should call them one by one, all right? And we need to inculcate that. Why? It has to do with respect for the elderly. And we must never lose this part of our Asian culture. And so, that is why it's so important for us to be reminded, even Scripture tells us that. Now, then another passage. Do not rebuke this to Timothy. Timothy being a young man. As Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he reminded him, do not rebuke an older man harshly. By all means, correct them, but don't rebuke them harshly, because you need to respect the older one, even in their wrongs. You need to respect them. But exhort him as if he were your father. That's called honor. That's called respect. Treat younger men as brothers, and then older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters. And I love that part, comma, with absolute purity. That's how we need to treat one another. That the older aunties that I call aunties here in this church, and I love them, they are like my mother. And many other, I miss my grandmother. I love my grandmother. My grandmother has you know, passed on. But there are some older aunties here. When I look at you, you are like my grandmother. And I love that. I love it when you come to me and suddenly put your hand around me and say, I'm praying for you, you know, Pastor. And you are my grandmother. And the older uncle here, you are my grandfather. That's how I want to treat you. It's quite amazing that I feel so loved when I come to DMC. There are all these older ones that I know that they will love me for who I am. Another passage here, reminded about this is something I have preached before. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This has to do with honoring our parents. All right, in the way we talk to them, in the way we honor them. And then one last one. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. Submission, by the way, it is a godly attribute. That sometimes I know my opinion may be better than the older person, but because of my respect and honor of an older person, sometimes, okay, I may just want to submit because of honor. That there are certain battles that we should never fight. And so we must never, therefore, forget the senior in our midst. And I want to say it again, we certainly do not want to forget them in our quest now to make the church more relevant for the younger people in our midst, so that we don't lose them. So as we do this, let's do it, let's do a win, I call it a win-win here. And if in any way, and I want to say as a senior pastor of this church, if in any way at all that we have communicated to the senior people in this church that you are not as important as the younger one, I want to apologize to you. It has never been our intention. But just in case it has been communicated in such a way that it shows that, please forgive us. Because that's certainly never our intent. And that is why I decided that I want to preach this particular sermon, to remind ourselves what a powerful and rich heritage we have as DUMC, to have the senior people in our midst. Not because I'm becoming a senior. It's because I genuinely believe that there are some amazing, amazing seniors in our midst. But I pray to you that the senior one in this church here, will also be the greatest cheerleader to the younger ones, as they do what they need to do to attract the younger one. As Ming On said earlier on, I've learned not to give the younger one the look. And I have preached this particular sermon about not giving the younger one the look. I even show you a photograph of what the look looks like. And so it's so important for us to do that. And, you know, in the church, now let me define this term here. We say a church is multi-generational. Most of the time, church are multi-generational by accident, I call it. It so happened that there are some younger people, especially biologically, you are born into this family, and this family belongs to this church, and therefore, by accident, so-called accident, all right, that this church has multiple layers of ages. But while you may be multi-generational, you may not be intergenerational. So that's the difference. What is intergenerational? It means that we intentionally craft the church in such a way that there are interaction between the ages. For example, some people may not know this. Why is it that in DUMC, we don't have a Sunday school or a children's church running concurrently with our service? Because isn't it much easier for parents? Isn't it much easier for parents to drop the children at the Sunday school or the children's church and then come to a service in quietness so that I can worship God without the distraction? Isn't that a better thing? You think about it, right? During the weekdays, we are segregating our children. Parents have gone to work, right? And then the children go to school. And in the school, we segregate them by age groups. So Monday to Friday, they are segregated. Imagine now coming to church. When they walk into church, we segregate them again. We put them into a different age group. Do you know that a child, from the time they can go to a Sunday school or children's church, and by the time they graduate as youth, many of them have never entered and be part of an adult worship. They have never experienced what it means to be in the midst of uncles and aunties that are worshiping together, watching them and be able to pick something up from them in the way they worship God. Now, if we don't put this as part of their growing up years, I tell you what, no wonder our young people, by the time they become teenagers and they graduate out of teenage life and go into colleges and university, no wonder when they walk into an adult church, they have no idea how to integrate into that adult church. And therefore, to be intergenerational means that in everything that we do, we must ensure that there is interaction between multi-generation. I guarantee you that many of these children, I thank God for all these young parents, it is harder for you to bring all these young children here. It's much harder. I understand that. I've been a parent myself. I have three young boys. But, you know, I thank God for the UMC that we have always encouraged that our children worship together with us. And therefore, when they are much older, being part of a church is natural for them. So when they went overseas, they looked for a church. I didn't have to call them, "Are you going to church?" Because being in church is already part of their lives. And so that's why there are many things we do as well. And I love this particular photo. This happened only last Christmas. And I pray it will continue again and again. And this is a photo of our choir. I love it. In fact, I requested for this photo. Why? Because when I saw it, I said, this is multi-generation. What an amazing, from the very young to the not so young. All right. What an amazing photo. And I pray this is something that we will continue to do, that we are a family-friendly church. Okay, now let me dive into why. Why do we need our seniors in the church? And I will give you 8 reasons. Very quickly, I want to run through these 8 reasons why we need the senior in the church. So the first obvious reason, this is so obvious to me, right? Just common sense will tell you this, all right? We need them in the church because of their wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. Do the older ones have wisdom? I hope so, right? Because they have gone through the grind, I call it. They can tell you what not to do because they did it. And therefore, through that, they have banged the wall over and over and over again, and they can now safely tell you, do not bang that wall. I've been through it. Don't even try. Right. And so, who are the wise? The wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. I love the Living Bible. The wise man is known by his common sense. Sometimes sense are not so common, right? But wisdom means that there's some common sense, all right? Things that people have gone through, it has become common sense, all right? Don't do that. It's not worth it. So the wise man is known by his common sense and the pleasant teacher. That means not only do you have wisdom, you're able to teach, not nag, teach. You're able to come alongside and not come like a nagging person. That requires wisdom to know how to do that, so much so that the young person will listen. So that takes wisdom to know how to do. Now, why is it that they are wiser? Very simple. Ming On said that early on. because they have eaten more salt than you. Just the amount of salt that they've eaten is much more than the younger person. All right, and that, by the way, is a phrase, and quite an amazing phrase. And so if they have eaten more salt, meaning they have banged more walls, therefore they can tell you what works and what don't work. And they're also wiser, you know why? Because they don't have what we have today when they were younger. They don't have the conveniences of technology. They're not even as well off as we are today in that sense. But they have so much less, yet they are able. I look at some of the older ones and say, how in the world with what you are having as an income? Because I ask them how much they earn. When you were my age, how much did you earn when you have a family? I look at him and say, how in the world did you survive? And even allowing your children to go to universities and carve out a different kind of life for them. I say, how did you do that? And just by listening to them, I begin to realize that they have a kind of wisdom that many young people don't have, because our young people see there's so much more, but yet they can't even make ends meet every month. There is a certain wisdom about our seniors. In our senior, for example, I think I lived through that age as well. We learn patience, you know. We learn patience by letter writing. When you send a letter, it takes 1-2 weeks to arrive at the other side and 2 more weeks to come back to you. We learn patience by waiting patiently for a reply. But today, if you are late by 1 minute on your WhatsApp, especially when they see 2 blue ticks, some of you already switched off your blue tick already. You don't want people to know that I have read. But if you are late by 1 minute, they are upset with you. Where's that patience? Where did it go? And I remember listening to my grandparents talking about the Japanese occupation, how they hid in the jungle, and how they survive, all right? And how they survive with the basic, in fact, they don't even have the basic needs, but yet they survive, and I love hearing their stories of how they could survive even in the most difficult times. And because of their experiences, tell you what, we need their wisdom. I still remember this old uncle who was a taxi driver in the old Mercedes that they used to have. Those of you who are older knows what I mean, the old Mercedes. They would take, you know, transport us from the village where I was staying to the bigger town, because we do that regularly something that we do out of fun. I remember this older uncle, taxi driver, I was sitting in the front with him. He was turned to me and said, young man, remember this, a car is used to go from point A to point B. As long as you get there, there is no reason to rush. You can rush, but you save a few minutes. But in that rush, something bad may happen to you. So remember, a young man. Did I remember? Yes, I remember, because I quote it back to you. I remember what he said when I was a young boy sitting in this taxi. This older uncle reminded me, remember, don't rush. Get point A to point B safely. That's wisdom, simple wisdom. But they reminded me that, you know, car is for that purpose. And today we see so many deaths in accidents. It's sad, by this simple common sense that we don't have. So their wisdom, I can go on and on about wisdom. But second thing is what I call their stories. You know, our seniors here, they love to tell stories, you know. You know what's the problem that we don't hear their stories? Because we never ask them. Because we never sit down with a cup of coffee and say, Uncle, Auntie, can you tell me, what was it like when you first get your job, your first job that you have? Uncle, Auntie, can you tell me, you know, what did you do with your first pay? Uncle, Auntie, can you tell me, you see, they have their stories. I remember one very senior person told me, this is quite funny, I still remember what he said when I was much younger. He said, young man, one of the favorite phrases they have, young man, okay? Don't take life too seriously. Okay? Don't take life too seriously. And don't take offenses too often. Don't take offenses too often. Because as a young person, we take offense so easily. And whenever I hear that phrase, young man, I take note, you know. Even until today, they still call me young man. Right? And I remember speaking at the Golden Club. And all these are wonderful uncles and aunties. And I remember telling them, I say, you know, uncles and aunties, do you know you have such wealth in life that there are many things, many stories that you can tell the younger ones so that they don't, that they are wise in life. So one older uncle came up to me and said, but Pastor, you don't know my life. I really, really messed up, you know. I don't know what good can I say to them. So I look at him, I say, you can still. At least you can go to them and tell them what not to do, lah. Because you did them, and it's all wrong, right? So now you go and tell them what not to do. Oh, yeah, that one I can tell. That one I can tell, he said, right? And so, church, their stories are important. Now, some of you here have been long enough in DUMC. You would remember this reverend called Reverend Won Eng Mien. Now, Reverend Won Eng Mien has already gone home to be with the Lord in 2016. But he has come since he retired in 1998, having served as an itinerant pastor in the Methodist Church. He served the Methodist Church for 35 years. And he retired, and then he continued, you know, to come and help us serve Holy Communion since Ruby Cinema days, right? And I remember that I was much younger pastor then. And I make it a point to say that I want to look after Reverend Won in between the services, all right? Because we have Saturday night two services and Sunday morning two services. So they have this gap in between where, you know, someone need to sort of sit down with Reverend Won. So I volunteered myself many times to sit down with him. You know why? Because I want to hear his stories as a pastor. I want to learn from him. I remember asking, sitting down over a cup of coffee, I asked him, Pastor, how did you, you know, come into the ministry? What was your calling like? I remember, he's an itinerant pastor, therefore he was transferred from church to church, all right? A luxury that he doesn't have, like myself, to be in a church for long term. But I remember he was moving from church to church every 4 or 5 years, sometimes maybe, you know, and it's something that regularly he does. And I asked him, Pastor, what is it like having to move from church to church, moving from house to house, from the north of the country to the south and to every part of the country? What was it like to pack and unpack? What was it like to make sure that you don't keep unnecessary things? And he tell me all these stories. And one of the most amazing stories Reverend Won told me was, do you know, when I was younger, I was part of this singing group. Wow, got singing group during your time. He said, yeah, I was part of it. Four of us, we were part of this singing group. And I said, really, what's the name? All right. And I went to Google. True enough, there was this singing group which Reverend Won was involved. And it is called, all right, the Christ Ones. All right, Chris Stones is called. All right, he said it's called Chris Stones. All right, and or the Christ Ones. All right, and he said we went around the country singing. We cut a few songs in the album as well. Wow, I said, I didn't know that, Reverend Won. Thank you for telling me. All right, and so he was telling me the story of how this group of young men were going around singing for Jesus. Wow, what an amazing story that he had. I was so encouraged to hear them. And tell you what, in DUMC, here, many of the senior ones, they have some amazing stories. Amazing stories, being in DUMC for so long now, how this church was so small, and now the church is huge now, all right? From, you know, 1988, when I joined DUMC, we only have 81 members. Only 81. We have only 6 cell groups. 1988, when I joined DUMC, all right? That's 8 years after he started. With only 81 members. By the time I joined as a full-time worker in the church had grown to 266 members. So that was when I joined as full-time, 266 with 20 cell groups. But today, there are 300 over cell groups now. We have about 5,000 worshippers here in DUMC. Now, tell you what, between that and this, there are amazing stories there. How did the church grow? Aren't you curious to find out? For many of the senior ones, at your time, what was it like? What was cell group like? What was church like? right? So not only their wisdom, their stories, the third reason is their love. Their love. Have you experienced a senior person in this church here loving you? I tell you, there's something about the seniors, the way they love you. And I have been one of the recipient of their love. Do you know it's a senior one who regularly come up to me? Here, Pastor, with a little bag. Here are some fruits for you. Just a few days ago, someone came up, Pastor, this is a cake for you. And then another time, someone will come up in another bag, Pastor, these are just some coffee for you. I'm blessed out of my sock, you know. There's these older ones, it doesn't come from younger ones, you know. It doesn't come, you know. I'm not suggesting that you start doing that to me, huh? I'm just illustrating a point. It is the senior ones. They will take a special interest in the younger ones. And often they will write a card to me. And just last week, at the end of our 5 days, 5 nights of prayer, all right, over the last 1 week, two already came up to me. Pastor, I have been praying for you every day. I've been praying for you every day. I only hear the senior one saying that to me. You know what a blessing this is? And I know many are praying for me, praying for the church. And so our senior ones here, do you know they can be your children's grandparents too? Have you ever thought of connecting them? Then many of our children here do not have the luxury of having grandparents. Maybe their grandparents are outstationed. But do you know that, you know, we senior ones can be the grandpapa? I'm a grandpapa to a few children already, by the way. They call me grandpapa, right? And I think it is so important for us to allow the senior ones to adopt you, right? And you know the reason why we are not adopted? Because you never allowed them to adopt you. I know this is this chemistry thing. You need some chemistry, but if you don't start somewhere, you will never be able to enjoy this. But by the way, younger ones, when you go up to a senior person, don't start the conversation with, how old are you? By the way, they are not afraid of telling you their age. You know who's afraid to tell you their age? Those in their 40s and 50s like me. I still say 59 plus. But I think that once they hit 60, they love to say that they are 65, 70, 75. They love to tell you that. Because there's something about them, their life, they have been through it. They say, you know, it's not about your age anymore. It's about how well you live your life. And they are not afraid to tell you how old they are. And so I really appreciate the love of the seniors in this church. And the younger ones, you don't experience that, can I say, is your loss. It's kind of amazing. I have experienced that when I was much younger. You heard over the conversation just now, Lily. Lily shared about her senior, mature people in her cell group, how she had been loved over. That's an amazing, amazing thing. And I love it now in DUMC. Now the older ones in our church now are saying to me, Pastor, I want to leave my senior. Not that they don't love their senior group. They love their senior group. But they say, it's time for me now to move out on my group now and try to find a younger group where I can be a part of. Right? Now, it's still something that we are learning how to do. But I'm seeing that more and more of the senior ones are doing that. That blesses my heart. Right? And so their love. The older ones will bring a new dimension to any cell group. Because of the way the ability to love. So that's their love. And the fourthly is the ability to set boundaries. Now, what do I mean by that? I love it for many of the senior ones here. Sunday morning is church time. So I remember when we first moved our church, started a new celebration on a Saturday night, it's so foreign to them. Church means Sunday morning, you know. Throughout their entire life, going to church is a non-negotiable on a Sunday morning. And I love the way they set the boundary around their life. No negotiation. I am going to church on a Sunday morning. That's the modeling they had given to me for many years. They always come to church no matter what. But today, you know, young people have too many choices. If they feel like coming, they come. If they don't feel like coming, they don't come. In fact, in the United States, I was told, and I think it's not that far off in DUMC as well, the church member regularity means they're going to church 2 or 3 times a month. That's called being regular in church. But the senior ones, as I look at their life, I can see that over the years, for many years now I'm in DUMC, they are the ones with the ability to set boundaries around their life. I'm coming to church every weekend. And the us younger ones need to catch on to that because it blesses us as a weekly priority. So not only the ability to set boundaries, fifthly, is their dedication. I can say so many things about dedication. I love the senior ones because they have been here for so many years, faithfully plowing in the church. And, you know, their dedication from an early age have enabled DUMC to be where we are today. Always remember that we are riding on the shoulders of giants. We are not here because of our ability, you know, in this generation. We are here because of them, every church. And we must therefore continue to honor them and be like them in their dedication to the church. Good, bad, or ugly of the church, they are here. But you know what's happening today? Today we're seeing the lack of that dedication. And church hopping is something so common now. And I don't want to judge anyone. There are reasons why people move from church to church. That's not my point. My point is that the sense of dedication and loyalty is not there anymore among our young people. Again, I do not want to generalize, all right? But what I'm saying is that I'm concerned that in this church here, we need to learn to build dedication and loyalty. Otherwise, we have a problem down the road. You see, in companies today, you know, we used to be so proud. Oh, I've been in this company 30 years, 40 years, and then we get a gold watch, right? We get a gold watch to say, I don't know what ladies get, but I know men get gold watch and say, wow, congratulations, you have been in this company for 40 years, for 50 years, whatever, how many years that you have been there. Today, if you ask, you know, a young person, you know, how many years have you been in the company? If a young person say 10 years, all the other young people look at you funny. What's wrong with you? 10 years already, what are you doing there for 10 years? Right? Now, for whatever reason there is, what I'm saying here is that we are losing that whole sense of loyalty. That sense of dedication and commitment. If we don't watch it, all right, the church will be full of people who treat the church like a shopping mall. They will build into members this consumeristic idea that if the church don't feed me what I want, I'm leaving, you know? I'm leaving. I tell you what, the seniors don't do that. All right? The seniors will stick onto it. There are some exceptions, but I can generally say to you, our seniors here will be here, and I can count on them. No matter what we go through, they are there. And I love that. It gives me a sense of stability. It's almost like the third man on the left standing on that ladder. If that third man steps away, this church falls. And that is why we must not forget their dedication. And so, their dedication is something that I want to honor. For many of you here have been DMC for, pardon my phrase, donkey years, I call it. It's so many years, thank you. And then sixthly, their leadership. Now, what do I mean by leadership? They may not be a leader by title anymore. But tell you what, they are leader by influence. They have so many battle scars that they can tell you sometimes what works and what doesn't work. And I remember one senior person in this church here, I was going through a really tough time as a senior pastor in the first 1 year. It was really tough. All he needed to say was this simple phrase, and I remember it until today. fight the right battle. And I remember walking away comforted in my own heart. Fight the right battle. Don't get distracted by the wrong battles. Fight the right. All it needed was for him to say that one line. He was that man standing on that ladder. Whisper one phrase to me. And I walk away having the sense of security that God has called me to do what I'm doing. Right? And then seventhly, I'm coming to the end pretty soon, their sacrifices. Because our seniors, they don't have very much when they were younger. But yet, they can do amazing things with the little they have. Therefore, their ability to be prudent, the ability to make the best out of the little, is the kind of sacrifices that they give to the church. Do you know Dream Center? We are all enjoying the fruit of Dream Center here, right? We love coming here because of the facility God has given to us. But this comes from the sacrifices of our seniors. When we first thought of getting this place, we only had 1 million in our bank account. When we had this idea, 1 million. And over the years, it's not the effort of a small group, it's the effort of an entire church. Therefore, 1 million we could, by the time we calculated how much we needed for this place of 40 million, God have taken 5 loaves and 2 fish through the faithfulness of our seniors. And that's why all of you are sitting on chairs. That's why I treat this place with reverence and honor, because it's the sweat and tears of our seniors. Do not take this place lightly. Right. Yeah. I think we're reminded about the very fact that is the sacrifices of a senior that I am standing where I am today because of them. They have given me an opportunity to be the senior pastor. And not because I believe in myself. Trust me, I don't. But because they believe in me, they say, you do it, we'll stand at that ladder as a third person. Go do it. And I'm saying this, my hair all stand on end on my arms here. Because if we forget, you know, our heritage, it is our loss. And then lastly, because of all these 7 reasons, is their discipling in our lives. Even if they have not done something the way you expect them to, remember, they have done something through their lives. And therefore, this word picture here, remember, remind us, the entire household of God, we are there to help one another. And do you know that the younger one, listen to this, the senior ones, the younger one can disciple us too? The younger ones can disciple us. How do they disciple us? They disciple us so that we can become contemporary to the way we reach out to the generations out there. Because we cannot reach out to that unless we know what's going on in the younger ones. And therefore, the younger ones can disciple us and say, Uncle LOL means laugh out loud. Oh, I see. Right. And therefore, they too can disciple us if we are humble. There's something I can learn from the younger ones. Now imagine now the household of God. We all learn together. And by the way, more is caught than taught, right? Because we're next to someone, we caught something, and tell you what, many of the younger ones will catch something from us in the way we live life, in the way we come to church, in the way we serve, in the way we worship. They are all watching us. We can either be a good example or a bad example, right? But we are discipling all the time. And this verse here talks about Apostle Paul written to the Corinthian churches. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, this word guardian means that they are like this is a word used for a servant in the house. These are people doing their role, their duty, but they do not have the heart. All right? But he said, you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, but you do not have many fathers. And this is what God is telling us as a church. The senior ones, we need to learn to become a father to the younger ones. And we need many, many fathers. And therefore, I love it, you know, in the last 5 nights of prayer, one of the things, that the ending thought that we had in our prayer meeting right here in this hall here, was this whole thing about the church being a safety net. Everyone connecting to one another, and this safety net is so important because nobody fall through the safety net. And that was the image God gave to us beginning of this year. This is what God is going to do in UMC. We're going to have such a safety net that nobody falls through and nobody is left behind. From the young to the not so young. And so let me remind ourselves again, don't miss me out, the vital role of the senior in the church. The big idea is we need one another in the family of God. Amen? And this is what I want to do. We want to pray for those of you who are 60 and above. Because this is, we want to honor you. In a sense, to say to you that you are part of this family here. Now, so be proud of being 60 and above, because we want to honor you. So if you are 60 and above, I want you to stand up right now. In UNC at Puchong, you do the same thing as well, and those on gallery, all right? Even watching on live stream, if you are 60 and above, you stand up as well, because I want to pray for you. Those who are 60 and above, be proud that you are 60 and above, because we want to recognize you, all right? Just stand up where you are. I know some of you are hesitating, all right, to stand up. But we want to honor you, okay? We want to honor you. Give them another big clap. Can you do that? Right? Many up on the gallery as well. And these are the people we want to value, because you are precious to the church. So church, I want you to just look around at all the 16 and above, right? And like I say to you, these are the people that is not afraid to tell you how old they are, okay? In fact, you know, they are the people, you know, I believe that God's going to use even more in the coming days. So this is what I want you to do, church. If you are seated right now, I want you to go up to somebody who's standing. You place your hands on them, all right, because I want you, I'm going to pray, but I want you to be able to stand with them and pray together with me. Can you do that? Just go to somebody. Nobody should be left standing alone, all right? If you see anyone standing, including anyone over there who is on wheelchair as well, they could not stand, can you just look out for somebody in wheelchair as well, in case they're 60 and above, all right? Can you do that? Go to someone standing alone. Can you make sure nobody stands alone, okay? Go there, place your hands on them, because I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God, you know, to bless our seniors in this church here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready? All right, just place your hands on them. And I want you right now in a posture, in many sense of humility, that you represent the church here in DUMC. And you represent the group here in DUMC as your hands are placed on them. You know, seniors, we want to say to you, we love you. We want to say to you that your sacrifices and your dedication over the years. Thank you. Thank you that you have plowed into the church here. You have been there in the thick and thin. And we appreciate you for what you have done. And sometimes, you know, at this season of your life, you may say to yourself, but I'm not really doing that much now. But tell you what, the Lord wants to remind you that the fruit of what you have done is continuing. And sometimes your role is just to stand on that ladder and be that stabilizing foundation for the young people in this church. And we also want to say sorry to you if in any way we have communicated otherwise, that you maybe have been hurt by something that you sense that the church may not be honoring you. And as a senior pastor, I want to say sorry to you. But most of all, it's not about, you know, that, but we are coming together as a church to honor you. With humility, we come to you and say that you are needed in this church. In whatever roles, the Lord, as our theme this year is to go. is to go where God wants you to go. So I believe that God has a purpose for you still in this church. Not only in this church, but outside the church or the four walls of the church, God still has something for you. So I want to bless you. We want to bless you that God will continue to use you, that the works of your ministry will still produce many good fruits. And so in the name of Jesus, Father, we bless our seniors. Bless our brothers and sisters, God, who have been faithful in the journey of life. Thank you to them, Lord, that they have modeled to us what it means to be faithful. Even in the midst of things that they struggle with, God. But yet today they are here in church, God. They're still walking with you, and for that we thank you. So we want to bless them. We want to bless them, God, in whatever runway they have now, God. Lord, use them mightily. Even to one person, maybe a group of people, even for some, Lord, you may ask them to chase that lion out there, far bigger than they can ever imagine. But whatever it is, it's not the amount of things that we do, but that they remain faithful, God, to what you called them to. So we bless them right now, Lord, with that intimacy that they can have with you. We bless them, Lord, with good health, so that they will have the ability, God, physically to continue on, God. We ask for your healing touch upon them, Lord, for those who may not be well. And even those who are going through some hard times right now, even in the physical body, we ask that your grace will be sufficient for them, God, as they walk this journey. And so we want to bless them, God, that most of all, every day when they wake up, they give thanks to you for their life that day. And that they're able, Lord, to receive so much from you in their quiet time with you, in their devotional time with you, in their prayers. But most of all, God, even in the cell group or the church that they go to, may we, God, can also become a blessing to them as they are a blessing to us, God. And so, God, thank you again for our dear brothers and sisters here, for who they are and for what they have been to us, God. So we ask that, God, you bless them richly, God, in every way. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen.